Okay, now turning to Psalm 4. The title of the message tonight is found in the first verse. O God of my righteousness, O God of my salvation, O God of all that I am, O God of all that I ever will be, O God of my righteousness. This is the sum of the gospel, is it not? The sum and substance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God of our salvation. God of our righteousness. No wonder the apostle said, Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Believers standing in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified from all things which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. We're justified in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is known unto the believer and loved and appreciated unto the believer as the Lord, our righteousness. The believer resting in Christ, no longer going about to establish a righteousness of his own, but willingly and lovingly submits unto that righteousness that is of God. That's the gospel. The gospel is Christ, and Christ is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is made to the believer. He's our very wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. O God of my righteousness. It's of Him. It comes from Him. It's produced by Him. It's imputed by Him. It's a righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ has worked out for us. And we cry unto Him to deliver us in this righteousness. Hold your place there and find Psalm 71. Sometime at your leisure, I would encourage you to read the whole 71st Psalm because it talks a whole lot about this righteousness. Notice Psalm 71, verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day. Look at verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Look at verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Psalm 71, look at verse 1 and 2. I don't know why I did that backwards, but look at verses 1 and 2. You'll have to excuse me. Sometimes I think backwards. Psalm 71, look at verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in that righteousness. Save me. Redeem me in that righteousness. And cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me, God, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. For thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock. My fortress. Oh, I tell you, the blessedness to believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at verse 1. Now, hear me. Hear me when I call. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now, have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. Have grace upon me. Have mercy upon me. Lord, when I call, hear me when I call. Hear my prayer. Now, what a distinct privilege the believer has been given as a son of God, adopted into His family by sovereign free grace. What a privilege, a distinct privilege the believer has to call upon our God, Abba, Father. Father, Father, hear my cry. He hears the cry of His people. To call upon the Lord. What a distinct privilege we have to call upon Him. And we call upon Him this way. Turn to Psalm 145. Look at this here. Psalm 145. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. He's nigh unto them of a broken heart. He saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him. Now watch this. Underline this. To all that call upon Him in truth. Our Lord said, I am the truth. I am the way. We do call upon Him who is the author of our salvation. We do call upon Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the God of our salvation, for salvation is of the Lord. Look at Psalm 3, verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon His people. And then he talks about this. Thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress, when I was in the pit, when I was in the clutches of death and sin and guilt and despair, You've enlarged me. What does that mean? Set us free. He's given us liberty. Past mercies are declared. Thou hast delivered me. You've enlarged me. You've set me free. This is the believer's experience of grace. Christ has set us free. He set us free. Find Isaiah 61. Another one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Isaiah 61. Our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul wrote to the Galatians, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, saying to you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now look at Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me. Now this is Isaiah writing about the ministry, the coming Messiah, and the ministry that God would grant and give unto him 600, 700, 800 years before the Lord came. And when the Lord went to his hometown and stood up in that synagogue that day, and they delivered him the book of Isaiah, that's recorded there in Luke chapter 4, he reads this from Isaiah 61, and he said, this day it's fulfilled in your ears. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. A preacher, the prophet of God. To preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captive. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. There's that righteousness again. Trees of righteousness, they are the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. See what he's saying here back in our psalm? Oh, God of my righteousness, you have set me free. You have set me free. When I was in distress, we only have deliverance from our sin, guilt of our sin, the condemnation of our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He set us free. Now, here's our request. Here's our request. Have mercy, or be gracious unto us. Have mercy upon me. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. This is the believer's cry unto the throne of glory. This is David's cry unto his God. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. Oh, hear my prayer. What is our request? Mercy. 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 Not justice. I don't want what's coming to me. I don't want what I've earned. For the wages of sin is death. But we do cry out and we do come to God as a mercy beggar. Have mercy upon me. You remember what the publican said unto the Lord? have mercy upon me, thee, sinner. And our Lord said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What is our request? Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I love that scripture in Lamentation 3 where it talks about it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. It's of His mercy. You remember this psalm so clear and plain, Psalm 51. This is a very, very familiar passage to believers. Psalm 51, David cries here, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I've sinned against You and done this evil in Your sight, that Thou mightest be justified when You speak and clear when You judge. David saying this, if You give me what I deserve just condemnation. But God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. I love that scripture also that Paul wrote to Titus. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved. Notice the marginal reference on the word there. Have mercy is, oh, be gracious unto me. You see that? Be gracious unto me. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That is God giving us what we do not deserve, His favor, His blessing, His grace. His mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. For we, not giving us what we do deserve, we deserve distress. We deserve condemnation. We deserve trouble over our sin. But thank God, He delights to show mercy to the miserable, grace to the guilty. Do you know He came to save sinners? He came to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I told some folks a couple of weeks ago, I had a funeral to take care of a couple of weeks ago, and I told the folks at the funeral service, if I could ever find a sinner to preach to, I've got good news for you. But there's not many of them around. Do you know that? Everybody thinks they're okay, I'm okay, you're okay. No, we're in trouble. Apart from God's mercy in Christ, we're doomed. We're doomed. But He came to save sinners. Now look at verse 2. In Psalm 4, O ye sons of Adam, just keep that in mind. O ye sons of Adam, fallen, ruined, guilty. O ye sons of Adam, rebels. How long will you turn the glory of God into shame? How long will you love vanity? How long? Lord, how long will you seek after lies? How long? How long? What a vivid description of those who hate God and those who are going about to establish their own salvation by their own doing. These ungodly men would turn the glory of God, into a shameful thing. They would turn the glory of God. What is the glory of God? You remember one time Moses asked the Lord, show me Your glory. Remember what he said? I cause all My goodness to pass before you. That's Christ. And I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God's greatest glory is My greatest need. Sovereign mercy. But there are many rebels against God that would turn His glory, the glory of His sovereign mercy, into a shameful thing. We see that going on in religious circles every day, don't we? Well, that's not fair. They would say, well, that's not fair. God saving whom He will. Well, that's not right. My friend, who are you to reply against God? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one lump unto honor and another unto dishonor? O ye sons of men, ye wicked rebels, sons of Adam, how long, the Lord says, will you turn my glory and make it into a shameful thing? Look what else he says there in verse 2. How long will you love vanity? You know what vanity is? Nothing. Emptiness. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. How long will you love a vain show, a vain thing? The emptiness of salvation. How long will you love that? You know what the Lord said to those Pharisees? You are they which justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is a vain thing, is abomination in God's sight. How long will you love vanity, vanity? There is a way that seems right unto men. The end of that way is death. And then he asked another question. How long, O you rebels, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? How long will you seek after lies? I'm reminded of a scripture over in Jeremiah chapter 5. God said the prophets prophesy falsely, or these false prophets. The priests bear rule by their means, and they prophesy falsely. And God said, my rebel, those rebel people, those rebels, they love to have it so. Love not the truth. They love vanity and they seek after lies. Lies. I tell you, one of the biggest lies that's been put on this generation, God loves everybody. Not so. They seek after lies. Another lie that's been put on this generation, that Christ died for everybody. That's not so either. The love of God in Christ Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ died for His people. How long will you seek after these lies? Lies, lies. I tell you, we'll keep right on until God makes a difference. Until God makes a difference in us. May we learn to admire His sovereign grace that has made us to differ. The Apostle Paul said, who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive of God? It is only by His sovereign grace, it is only by His sovereign mercy that we love His glory, that we love Him and not vanity, that we seek the truth and don't continue in the lie of Satan. Sinner, save yourself. Do the best you can. Everything be okay. Oh, no. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death. It's only by His grace that we love His glory. It's only by His grace that we love the truth and not the lie of Satan. I am what I am, the apostle said, by His grace. We love Him only because He first loved us. Look at verse 3. But no. Know this. There's that little word there that just, wow, just flashes out at you. B-U-T. But God. But God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. But no. Know this. We know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Know this, that the Lord has set apart Him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon Him. The Lord has sovereignly set a people apart for Himself. What is that? What is that? I tell you what it is. It's election. God has set apart a people for Himself. God in eternity, there's a book over here on this table that I just think so much about. You can get a copy of it when you go out. It's by an old preacher from Kentucky. His name is C.D. Cole, Claude Duval Cole. It's The Bible Doctrine of Election. I found that book in a bookstore about 30 years ago. Paid 50 cents for it. And that, I tell you what, it opened up everything new to me. Oh, I tell you. The Bible Doctrine of Election. Is it so? Absolutely so. Did David rejoice in the Bible Doctrine of Election? That is, God choosing of people unto salvation? Abraham rejoiced in it. Turn to Psalm 65. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Apostle Paul, oh, I tell you, he rejoiced in the Bible Doctrine of Election. How about Peter? Peter rejoiced in that electing love of God, the electing grace of God. Psalm 65, look at verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. He didn't choose us because we were holy. He chose us in Christ Jesus to make us holy. That's exactly what it says. Don't turn. Let me just get it for you. You know it by heart. And I could quote it for you, but I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to turn and read it. Ephesians chapter 1. God had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, He hath chosen us. God had set His people apart and made them godly in Christ, and He did this for Himself, for His glory. God loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much that He determined from all eternity to populate heaven with a people just like Him. That's what predestination is all about. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. For the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the elect. We are chosen in Him. Someone said election is a guarantee of complete salvation and an argument for success at the throne of grace. He said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But I know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly. The Lord will hear. The Lord will hear when I call. When I call. Now someone said this, Since he chose us, he cannot but choose to hear us, sovereignly hear us, when we cry unto our Father. And the Lord gives a parable about that in Luke 18, remember? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Well, I tell you, since God has chosen us, God has redeemed us. Paul said in Hebrews 4, seeing that we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, whoever lives to intercede for us, he said, let us come boldly. I'm going to come. Come with liberty. Come with freedom. And find grace to help in time of need. It's the throne of grace. It's the throne of mercy in Christ Jesus. Now, look at verse 4 back in our text. Stand in awe. Stand in awe of Him. What does that mean? I think it means this. With reverence in your heart. With reverence in your heart. Before God. Stand in awe. In worship before Him. And believe Him. Sin not. Sin not. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. I wish I could quit. One day I'll lay this old rotten nature down. Stand in awe of Him, I do. as much as I can in this old wretched man that I am. I do stand in awe of Him. And it is my desire never to sin against God again. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But when you do, when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But we stand in awe of Him. Now look what it says. Commune with Him. Commune with your own heart. Commune with your own heart. Now this is not that old Adam nature. This is that new nature given in regeneration. For that old sinful Adam nature doesn't commune with God in the heart. That old Adam carnal nature doesn't even think upon God. But this is that new nature, given that new heart. He said, I'll take away that stony heart and I'll give you a new heart. Commune with Him. Worship Him in your heart. And do it upon your bed. In the quietness of your own bedchamber. And be still. Be still. Be still. Stand in awe before Him. Tremble before the Lord. Proceed no further in sinning against Him. And I tell you what this is also driving at. Surrender. Surrender. Complete submission and surrender to the Lord. Stand in awe of Him. Bow down and kiss the Son. Look what it says right across the page, Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish on the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Trust Him. Bow to Him. He said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still, be still. Turn over here to Psalm 46. Look at this for just a minute. Psalm 46, look at verse 10. Be still. Psalm 46, verse 10. You got it? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still. Be still. Can you think of another place in Scripture where that's used? Be still. Be still. You remember when God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage and they went out and they came up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh at one point said, well, I'll let you go. But somehow God hardened his heart, went out after them, and was determined to slaughter everyone who had escaped or everyone whom God had delivered. And here they're up against the Red Sea. They can't get through, not by any natural means. They can't go to the right or to the left because of the mountains that were there. And here comes Pharaoh in his chariots and all those armed men down descending upon those children of Israel. What are we going to do? Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you'll see them again no more forever. Stand still and watch God work. Salvations of the Lord. Now look at verse 5. Offer unto Him, stand in awe of Him, bow down to Him. As my pastor used to say, put up your shotgun, the war is over, surrender, wave the flag, bow down, kiss the Son, commune with Him in your heart upon your bed, and be still, worship Him, and then watch this. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. What could more comfort the heart of a distressed sinner but to be still and know that I am God and look to the sacrifices of righteousness, not ours, not ours, but His. Find your total hope of forgiveness in the sacrifice of Christ. With Him, there's plenteous redemption. Turn to Psalm 130. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that that's in the plural, offer sacrifices of righteousness. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I remember reading somewhere, somebody, when it said you see the word sacrifices in plural, it denotes the excellency of it and the sufficiency of it. Turn to Psalm 130, and that speaks of Christ, His redeeming blood. Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is mercy, there is mercy. Verse 7 of Psalm 130, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquity. He shall, and He did. The total hope of our forgiveness before God is that glorious sacrifice, the blood offering, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He has obtained for us, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with His own blood, He has obtained for us eternal redemption. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Eternal redemption. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. God bought us with His own blood. Now, trust Him. Who else would you trust? Who else would you trust? You can't trust yourself. You remember what we read in Philippians 3:3? We are the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Right across the page, Psalm 7, verse 1. O Lord, my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Oh, the blessedness to trust Him. Trust in Him. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and find in Him plenteous redemption. Look at verse 6. There are many. There be many that say. There be many that would say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Many rebel in their carnal thinking would cry out against God in His anger and disbelief and would say something like, well, who will show us any good? I tell you, there God is good. He is good to His people. The believer looking to the Lord cries out with holy confidence, Lord, lift up Your favor upon us. Let Your presence be upon us. For Christ is our light. Christ is our life. Christ is our liberty. He has commanded the light to shine upon us. O Lord, lift up the light of Your countenance upon us. And make Christ to shine. The glory of God shined in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn us, O God. Turn over here to Psalm 80. Look at Psalm 80, verse 3. Psalm 80, verse 3. Turn us. Turn us again, O God. And cause Thy face to shine. And we'll be saved. We'll be saved. You cause us to turn. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Look at verse 7. Thou hast put gladness. Here's more about that heart. Salvation is a heart work. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. You put Christ in my heart. More? You put more gladness in my heart? More than those who, in the time of their harvest, that would fill up their barns with plenty, with corn. Oh, God put us, He's given us much more gladness than that. Than in the time of corn or in the time of the wine that's increased. God's given us that new heart. Christ in the heart. Listen to this. Christ in the heart is better than corn in the barn. Christ in the heart is better than money in the bank. Christ in the heart is salvation. Christ in the heart is better than the most vintage wine in the cellar. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace in Christ Jesus. He's put gladness in our heart. You know, to the believer, worship is not a burdensome thing. Worship's not a burdensome thing. David said, "Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." It's the highlight of our life. We look forward to that eternal day of worship. Oh, to worship Him without sin, to worship Him without any distraction, to worship and see Him face to face and sing unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. Look at verse 8. I think He's speaking about this here. We do rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Thanks be to God who's given us His unspeakable gift. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For the Lord only maketh me to dwell in safety. Turn over here to Psalm 17. I lay me down in peace. This is a believer's confidence. Because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace with His own blood. We can lay down our life at the end of our journey when the Lord said it's enough. Man's days are determined of God. We can lay down at the end of our journey in sweet rest in Christ Jesus. And awake, look what it says, Psalm 17, verse 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I'll be satisfied when I awake with your likeness." The last part of that, Philippians chapter 3, "Who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." The wonder death to the believer, the Lord said in Psalm 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." No wonder the Scripture says in Revelation 14:13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Death to a believer is not punishment, my soul, it's promotion. It's graduation. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now look at the last part of verse 8 in Psalm 4, verse 8. "Lord, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety," in safety, in safety. We're kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. You remember that psalm that's called the only psalm? Psalm 62 is the only psalm. Turn over there. Did you know that? It says over here, "Thou only makest me to dwell in safety." And Psalm 62 is known as the only psalm. Psalm 62, look at verse 2. "He only is my rock, my salvation, my defense, I shall not be moved." Look at verse 4. "They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse." Look at verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He only makes me to dwell in safety. I'll lay me down in peace." I want you to turn to one other scripture and I will quit with this. Psalm 32. Excuse me, Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Look at Isaiah 32, 17. Isaiah 32, 17. "The work of righteousness shall be peace." Shall be peace. Peace with God. The work of righteousness shall be peace. Whose work is this? Work of God. It's His righteousness, and the fruit of that is peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the effect of righteousness, the work of righteousness, shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, Christ our righteousness, quietness, assurance forever. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in assured dwellings, in quiet resting places. Well, I pray the Lord will bless that word to your heart.